Father God, we thank you that you've made a way for us to know you, even though you know everything about us and how short we fall of your grace, your glory, your righteousness, your perfection. You still love us because you are love, and you made a way out of no way, because we were not only lost, but we were separated from life in you. But you sent Jesus to be the payment for the penalty of our sins. And we thank you that today we could remember him through communion, that not only did he die, but he rose again from the grave. And as we're learning on Wednesday nights in the book of 1 Peter, because Jesus is alive, we have a living hope today. And we have a God who is with us, who is able to work all things together for good, because we love you and we're called according to your purpose. We want you to get what you paid for. You're working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We want to grow in sanctification, because the things that you brought us out of don't satisfy us the way the things you brought us into. So we want to choose well, and it begins with having our minds transformed by the word of God. Speak to this body as you always do. If I do nothing but read scripture today, that is enough. Yet, Lord, you've chosen men and women to proclaim your word, to teach your word. Holy Spirit, help me to do that today, and help your people to hear the word, and help all of us to live the word. Thank you for the sweet things you are doing in this church these 21 days of prayer. It's been great. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're up to. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12? Before I read verses 1 through 5, I want to thank Felicia for leading us in worship. Thank you, my sister. Can we give God a hand of praise for her leading us? Come on, we can do better than that. She's up here singing by herself. That's a lot. Pastor Jewel is resting, and I'm glad about that. Ministry takes a lot out of you. And so I'm glad whenever any of my leaders can take a break, and that we can hand it off to capable people who will lead us. I love you, girl. And Paul and Carolyn Revere. My goodness. 22 years. Wow. We have been through a lot together. We've been to a lot of places together. We've traveled outside the country and done ministry together. We've been in one another's homes. Matter of fact, Dorena and I would not have a home if Paul did not sell us our first home when we moved to Franklin. We had a real estate agent we had to fire. He just was not on it. Had to fire the brother. And we met with Paul, and Paul made us feel like we could live anywhere we wanted to live. And I'll never forget that. And he served on the elder team for two different stints for many, many years. I remember there was a time, you guys, we used to meet in the evenings. And so I would get the guys chicken wings and all kind of stuff. We'd meet in the evening. And what time we meet? Whenever it was, Paul would start getting tired. Like, after he got them chicken wings in him. And those meetings would go on and on and on. And what Paul would do is, he would stand up in the meeting and say, "All right, let's pray, it's time to go." And so because of that, we had to move the meetings to the morning to keep the brothers on task and everything. But man, we share the same birthday, he and I. And we share the same wedding anniversary. So he calls himself my rear armor bearer, R-A-B. And you have been all that and more. We're going to miss you, but I'm glad y'all going with them grandbabies. Amen. Amen. Carolyn, thank you for how you have loved on us, on the ladies in this church, how you've always offered words of encouragement, wisdom, and insight to us, how you came alongside of us to make sure that we just weren't talking about serving the least of these, but you made sure that we were doing that because that is your heart. And so our church is rich because of you guys and the investment that you have made into this body. And we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you real bad, but we're happy for you at the same time. So we love you. Amen, amen. Let's try to get some breakfast or something before you go. Cracker Barrel or something, you know. All right, Acts chapter 12. God is a good God. You know, in the passage you were quoting about Jesus, Paul was in Ephesus and he had to tear himself away from that particular church that he was there for about 3 years serving. And when you have these kind of relationships, you know, that's in the household of faith, man, it's a beautiful thing, you know, that you got to tear yourself away. So I pray that we heard his advice and we will follow it, because being a part of a new church, or when you're new and you don't know anyone, the temptation is to kind of step back. But I encourage you, as Paul said, jump in with both feet. Get to know someone, approach someone. Don't wait to be approached, because you're going to get out of any church what you put into church. So don't come with the serve me mindset, or, you know, feed me the word, but you don't want to serve and get to know people and be a part any church, but especially what God's doing in this church. Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. On these 21 days of prayer leading up to our anniversary next week, we started this series a few weeks back talking about pray, Daniel, pray. And Daniel had been praying for 21 days before he got the breakthrough from the angel. And then from there, we went into pray, mama, pray, about the prayers of our mothers. And then last week, we talked about pray, Paul and Silas, pray. And then today, pray, church, pray. The Bible says that constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So pray, church, pray. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks about the church that he is going to build. He tells Peter that upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia, called out ones. I will build my church. It's more of a movement than it is a building. It's more of a people than it is just one proximity. It's something that is organic before it is organizational. The church of God, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see God birthing the church that Jesus said he was going to build. And when he births the church, the body of Christ, on the day of Pentecost, it came as a result of them seeking God in prayer for at least 10 days, because Jesus says, stay and wait for the promise from the Father. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, that they all assembled in this upper room and they prayed together, the men and the women, the leaders and the followers, and God showed up on the day of Pentecost. and they were endowed with power from on high. 120 men and women in the upper room went out and ministered, and then 3,000 were added to the church in one day. The church was birthed through a prayer meeting. Let me say that again. The church was birthed through a prayer meeting. And as you read the early portions of Acts, you will even see how the church was sustained by prayer. Over and over again, it talks about how they got together to pray. In Acts chapter 2, with all of these new disciples, the scriptures talks about how they prayed together. Prayer is essential. Prayer is the lifeblood of the local church. Last week, I talked about Paul and Silas praying, how when two come together and pray, they multiply their spiritual impact in heavenly places. For as one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Jesus said, for wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Paul and Silas prayed together, and God shook that jailhouse and saved lives that night. So when we pray together, we multiply our potency in the kingdom of God. Yes, God hears us when we pray alone, but because we're dwelling in community and the Lord sends his disciples out two by two, we're not trying to be lone ranger believers. We're people who are in community with others because two are better than one. So what happens when 120 pray? The Holy Spirit comes and turns the place out. What happens when 3,000 pray? What happens when 5,000 pray? Well, I tell you, when the church prays, no matter the number, God intervenes. When the church prays, God intervenes. It was D.L. Moody who once said, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. He didn't teach us how to preach or how to lead worship, but he taught us how to pray. And what we see here in Acts 12 is a reminder of why the church must pray and call out to God on behalf of the people in the church. The main point today I want you to take home is never, ever underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate the power of a praying church, especially when that church is praying for its leaders. Peter here is one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. He's in trouble, and the church began to pray for Peter. So never ever underestimate the power of a praying church, because if you don't know the story, we're going to walk through this story today to see how it turns out that their prayers were heard by God. He intervened and set Peter free. First thing I want you to see today is that the church must pray because evil is prevalent. The church must pray. The Bible talks about us having weapons of warfare in our right and in our left hands, weapons of light to overcome the darkness that's everywhere around us. And so we are spiritual warriors for God. And so we have to make a stand in this world to be salt and light, because there's so much evil in the world. In the verses I just read to you, I'll go back over chapter 12, verse 1, about how evil was prevalent in those days. Because whenever God is moving, the devil will try to resist that movement, which is why we must remain persistent in prayer. Men, women should always pray and not give up, because when God is moving, so is the enemy. When God is working, so is the enemy. And we should not think those things are strange, because we are threats to the kingdom of darkness when we align ourselves with the kingdom of light and act accordingly. So there is to be resistance. It's to be expected. And the church is growing in the book of Acts. They go from 120 to 3,000, and then to 5,000, it is growing. And as a result of that, the gates of hell are fighting back. And the devil is going to use Herod the king to stretch out his hand, as it says in verse 1, to harass some from the church. You see, Christians at this time were seen as a group of revolutionaries. They were a part of this group called the Way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So this new movement, no one had ever seen anything like this before. Jewish people in particular in the earlier portions of Acts are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which was a big thing for Jewish people to admit that God, yes, he is one, but he also exists in plurality, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this Jesus was not a lunatic, as C.S. Lewis said, but he was in fact Lord. And when people were coming to him out of traditional Judaism, it was costing them to make that cross over for the one who died on that cross. And so they were growing. They were growing. People were being healed miraculously. Poor people were having their needs met. All kinds of things were happening. So when we get here, Herod says, I got to stop them because they're rising up and they're a threat to my king. He's an insecure king. And if he's not getting the credit, if he's not being worshiped, if he's not being followed, if someone else is competing, God himself through broken people, he's got a problem. So he's going to harass the church. Man, it's a bad thing when an insecure leader leads a group of people. You do with that what you want to do. When a narcissistic, insecure leader painted in orange leads people, you do with that what you want to do with that. And so he's going to try to kill people. He stretches out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, Gamaliel, who was a lawyer, who spoke about this uprising that he saw in the church, he said, now, Jewish brothers and sisters, let me tell y'all something. We had a couple of uprisings before. Remember this guy? Remember this guy? They rose up, but then it fell down. And if this group is like those groups, leave them alone. They're going to rise up and they're going to fall down. But Gamaliel also said, but if this group is from God, you ain't going to be able to stop them because God is with them. And that is exactly what happened here. But that didn't stop him from stretching out his hand. In verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. This is James, the son of thunder. James, the son of Zebedee here. So he walked with Jesus Christ. He was one of the 12 apostles. And for reasons known only to God, whose ways are higher than our ways, he allows his servant to be martyred. When it says here to be killed with the sword, that was the Roman primary way of executing people, by beheading them. So he was beheaded. That's evil. Verse 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, why would someone's innocent death please the Jewish people? Well, this is not an indictment against all Jewish people at all. But what it's saying is at that time, many of the Jews were hostile against Christianity, the way, because they felt that it was taking away from Moses and the teachings and the traditions that they had held for centuries. And this new thing coming, they didn't see that it was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so they missed the move of God. Many of them did. And so when they saw that James, one of the 12, was killed, it pleased them. And these would be the people who back in chapter 7 and 8 stoned Stephen for preaching the word of God, because Stephen said, y'all always resist the Holy Spirit. Your hearts are hard. Your necks are stiff. And so there were many who were resistant to this new movement called the Way. And so there were many of the Jewish people who were pleased with that. And so Herod, being the consummate politician, says, well, I can go get somebody else too. And it says, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews in verse 3, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. The enemy working through Herod is going after the church's leaders. The enemy working through Herod is going after the church's leaders. Joe Lewis once said, if you kill the head, the body will soon die. That was his boxing method. And so if I can just pound that head enough, you're going to give in. And when leaders get struck, leaders are like the tip of a sword. If the tip can get dulled, the tip can get taken out. Oh, it's like a domino effect. It will fall, cause others to fall. And so the enemy comes after the leadership. The devil did this in the upper room with Jesus and the disciples, when Jesus told Peter something that Peter did not know. He says, Satan, Simon, I want to let you know, Satan has asked for you. Simon, I want to let you know Satan has asked for you. He didn't ask for John. He didn't ask for James. He didn't ask for Matthew. He's asking for you. Why? Because you're seen as the leader of the 12 under Jesus. So if I can get him, I can get the rest. But check this out, Peter. He's asking to sift you like wheat, which means he wants to break you down and shut you up. But I prayed for you. So after you fall and come back and strengthen your brothers, we're going to use this moment of testing to humble you under the mighty hand of God because you've been operating in self and pride. We're going to break that, talking about I'll never deny you. We're going to use this to humble you. Because the enemy uses trials to kill us, but God uses trials to build us. The same trial. The enemy wants to kill, but God says, no, no, you're not going to kill him, but I'm going to let you sift him to break him because I want to get him to where I want him to be. And when you come back from that thing, I want you to strengthen your brothers. So now here we have another attack on Peter. Earlier in the book of Acts, they arrested all of the apostles, put them in jail. And then an angel came and got them out of jail, and they're preaching across the street from the jail the next morning. They go to the jail to look for the apostles. They're not there. Somebody said, they crossed the street preaching. So there's always this attack, not only against the church, but in particular, the leaders of the church. So Peter is seized now. And it says, now was during the days of unleavened bread, which was a time that lasted about 7 days. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. A lot going on here. So Peter is in jail during this time of unleavened bread. He's going to bring him out after the Passover to kill him because Jesus was put to death during the Passover as well. So this is kind of reminiscent where we got your master. Now we're getting ready to get you. And we're trying to, again, send that message to everybody out here. Don't join this group because we don't play. We will kill you. But they also said, we better put 4 squads of soldiers around him. That's 16 soldiers. One soldier chained him on this side. One soldier chained him on that side. 2 standing outside the jail. They would rotate hourly, all these soldiers, 16 soldiers, they would rotate to make sure everybody was fresh. And the reason why they did that was because they got out of jail last time. We heard an angel came. Let's see what an angel do. I got 16 soldiers. This Herod and all of his pomp and power, at least he thinks he's got power. I'm going to put 16 soldiers around this man. Okay, all right, well, let's see what's going to happen. Verse 3, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So this is the second point here. Not only the church must pray because evil is prevalent, but the church must pray because prayer works. Don't ask me how to explain it. Jesus said, until now you haven't asked for anything in my name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do. I don't know how it all works. Just like if I go flick a switch and electricity comes, I can't put wires together. I shot myself. Gary Bell, y'all. Anyway, that's a long story. You put them wrong wires, something's going to happen to you. But I sure enjoy when I flick the switch and get light. I can't tell you how it works. I can't really tell you how it works. I just know I can go to the Father anytime in the name of Jesus and he hears me. More on that in a minute. But constant prayer has been offered up to God on behalf of the brother. He's in jail, chained between soldiers, locked behind a gate. But constant prayer is being offered to God for him by the church. And when you see that but, y'all know I like to see these buts in scripture. Y'all be careful, don't run with that. I like to see these buts when it says, but constant prayer in verse 5, that's the turning point. Yeah. In jail without the bail. In jail, chained, but. They just killed James, but. If you don't have that but constant prayer in your life, something bad is happening to me. My car just broke down. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. All of this is going on around me, but. Constant prayer is being offered to God. my goodness. The church starts to pray for the brother. This is the turning point, because prayer is what you do when there's nothing you can do. Man, if I had my phone up here, I'd tweet that. I just said something right there. Prayer is what you do when there's nothing you can do. Prayer is what you do when you need God to do what you can't do and what only He can do. Prayer is asking God to fix what we can't fix. I know a lot of us got money and resources. We know people. We got a little education, but there's some stuff we can't fix. There's stuff we can't do. And that's why it's always good to have somebody to call out to. Man, I don't understand how unbelievers walk around talking about they don't believe in God, believe in a God. Well, keep on living, because life is going to hit you in such a way where you're going to look up and say, I need help. Yeah. And for some people, it's going to be judgment day, but it's going to be too late then. Prayer. I'm so glad I have someone I can call when I need prayer. I pray because God is God and I am not. I pray because God is good and I am not. I pray because God is great and I am not. I pray because God is all powerful and I am not. I pray because God is all knowing and I am not. I pray because God is all wise and I am not. I pray because God is transcendent and I am not. I pray because God is everywhere all the time and I am not. I pray because God is all sufficient and I am not. I pray because God is holy and I am not. I pray because God is able and I am not. I pray because God is a deliverer and I am not. I pray because God is a healer and I am not. I pray because God is a miracle worker and I am not. I pray because God is a way maker and I am not. I pray because God is a chain breaker and I am not. I pray because God is rich in mercy and I am not. I pray because God is full of love and I am not. I pray because God is full of grace and I am not. I pray because God is always in control and I am not. I pray because prayer works. Oh, I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it. So when I pray, I have confidence. The church prays because prayer works. Tony Steele, can I get a witness, brother? Prayer works! I don't know who you call on, but I'm calling on God in the name of Jesus. I'm in something I can't fix. I'm in something I can't work out. God, help me. Help my family. But we're turning to alcohol to give us calm. We're turning to weed to give us calm. We need to turn to God to give us what we need. But I got to ask y'all, when it says constant prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church, what was their prayer? Common sense would say, Pastor, they were praying that Peter would get out of jail. Lord, hear our prayer. Spare our brother Peter. Don't let him die. Get him out of jail. Good prayer. But as we've been seeing lately, that God knows how to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. That God will not only meet that need, but He'll put a cherry on top every now and then. He will do more than you think, because there's going to be some stuff that's going to jump off in this passage that I know they didn't pray for. Just like last week, that when they were in that jail, God did so much in Acts 16. That they didn't pray for, because He's that kind of God. He's not only the God who gives you what you need, He's also the God who's more than enough. He'll pour out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. You're not asking for that, you're just asking for this. But He gives you this, and then He gives you that. He's good like that. So let's see what's happening with the text here. Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was what? Sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. I guess that's where the rapper got his name. Two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Let me ask y'all a question. Would you sleep the night before you were to be executed? No. We'd be up praying, crying, worrying, all kinds of things, right? But this man has the nerve to be sleeping on the night before he's to be killed in the morning. And we know Herod will not be afraid to shed blood because James has already been taken out. How in the world can homeboy sleep during a time like that? He had what we always pray for, Philippians 4. Lord, give me a kind of peace that surpasses my understanding. This is that kind of peace. This don't make no sense right here. He's sleeping on the night. And here's what I think. He's sleeping well because the church is praying. Number one, church is praying for him. You can sleep when you know somebody's praying for you. You ever had somebody pray for you and you say to them, I could feel those prayers. I could feel the support. It felt like wind beneath my, I felt the presence of God from y'all's prayers. So he probably felt so good he could go to sleep. But let me give you something stronger than that. My brother Peter had a promise on his life. Because when Jesus had resurrected from the dead, one of the first things he did was restore Peter for denying him those three times. He said, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Okay, now go feed my sheep. Now go minister to my lambs. Then Jesus pulled him aside and he said to him, let me tell you how you're going to glorify me through the death you're going to die. And Jesus prophesied to Peter that when he gets older, they're going to take him where he doesn't want to go. They're going to stretch his arms out and he's going to die a death of crucifixion. And so one of the reasons why Peter, and then Peter was like, okay, what about John? I mean, you give me that word. See, that's the realness of the Bible right there. Some of us are like, what? Well, okay, that's my word. Okay, what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. If I want him to stay alive till I come, don't worry about that. You follow me. Pick up your cross, homie. That's how you're going to die. So Peter's holding on to that word in that prison because he's still a young man right here. Oh, y'all don't hear me. But Jesus said, you're going to die as an old man. But here he's a young man. And then Jesus said, you're going to die. They're going to stretch your arms out. You're not going to die by decapitation. You're not going to die by the sword. You're going to die like me by crucifixion. And Pete's so crazy, according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs, that when it came time for them to kill him in Rome, he said, don't crucify me right side up. I ain't worthy to die like my Lord. Turn my cross upside down. And they put a spike through Pete's forehead. Pete went out crazy the way Pete came in. That's just how he was. But he's like, I'm resting because I had a promise from the Lord. And when God gives you a word, man. Now, let me say this to y'all. This is proof that Peter is growing spiritually. Because there was a time when Peter went into storms, he panicked. Remember when they were out on the boat? Storms were coming. And they're like, Lord, we're about to perish. Don't you care? And they were scared on storms. Now he's in the middle of another storm, about to perish, homeboy sleeping. That just means he's been growing spiritually. Have you been growing spiritually? Have I been growing spiritually? Or the same stuff that got us rattled 5 years ago? Ah, Lord. Still got us rattled now. The same stuff that set us off, the same stuff that triggers us, the same stuff that makes us want to give up, the same stuff that makes us cuss, the same stuff. Have we grown? Is there any fruit in our lives that show that we are growing spiritually, as Elder Sherman said, in sanctification? So when I look at my bank account and I look at what God is telling me to do, do I panic like I used to do, or do I trust God? I hope we're growing. When that unbeliever at the office is saying this and that, and you didn't speak up, but I hope you're growing that now you can and do speak up for the cause of Christ. Is there proof that you're growing? Now, verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. Man, the church is praying. Here comes one of God's messengers. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up. So dig it, y'all.
The light comes in. That don't wake him up. Some of y'all, when that light come on, who turned that light on? Don't let that fan, who turned the fan off? Black folks will sleep with a fan. Who that walking around downstairs? But the angel come in, there's light, he don't wake up. Now the other ones have been, I guess, put to sleep by God because they not moving. Peter has to be hit on the side to wake up. He's so deep in peace and sleep. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. So just getting up, the chains fell. Just getting up, the chains fell. Doing what God said do through the angel caused stuff to fall. Yeah. You see, this deliverance we're about to read about with Peter only happened because Peter was willing to work with God in his deliverance. He didn't expect God to do all of it by himself. So when the angel was speaking on behalf of God, get up, he had to get up. Some of us are waiting for God to just zap us into holiness. Don't work like that. Get up and watch some of these chains fall. Be obedient to God and watch some of this stuff stop in your life. He rises up. And the Bible says in verse 8, then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Oh, I can shout right here. I can shout right here, and I just might. When God is doing stuff in your life, some doors are going to open up on their own for you. In Revelation, it says he opens doors no man can shut. He shuts doors no man can open. And so when God opens up a way for you, give him all of the glory. Don't say, because I had the right pedigree, because I knew people, I was smart. No, God opened up a door for you. Give him the glory. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. Church praying. They're praying. Never underestimate the power of praying, church. So homeboy is on the loose. He's an escaped convict. Orange jumpsuit with Jerusalem County written on the back. Running through the streets at night. He sticks out like a sore thumb. He comes to where the church is praying. It's probably the same upper room Jesus met with them, and it's probably the same upper room when the Holy Spirit came. And the Bible says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, verse 13, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. I love this kind of stuff. She's so excited. It's Peter. I recognize his voice. And she goes in and tells everybody who's praying, he's at the door. She should have opened up the door and let that ex-convict in there. But she's so beside herself. Now watch this point here. Now, verse 15. So she goes and announces that Peter's out there. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it's his angel. Let's go back to praying. A couple things. Number one, here's another time when the church, in particular male leadership, don't listen to the word of women when they say what God showed them and told them to say. Because remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared first to women. He appeared first to women. They became the first preachers of the gospel. This ear thing, let me take my glasses off. And they go in and tell the disciples, we've seen the Lord. The men didn't believe the ladies. Although they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, they still had some male chauvinism in them that needed to be dealt with. Some unhealthy hierarchy stuff that needed to be dealt with, as if God can't speak through a woman. And here we go again. Rhoda says, Peter's at the door. They don't listen to her. I'm so glad we're growing in the church where we know that God puts his word in the mouths of men and women, even children, to proclaim to every generation. Don't you dare sit there and say, I ain't receiving this because it was a woman. And here's another thing. They're praying for Peter to get released. Peter is released and they don't believe it. You missed it. You missed it. This tells me again, God does not need us to have perfect faith as we're praying to him. He just wants us to have faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. And so they're praying, but man, they're not really believing their prayer. So after she says Peter's on the front step, they say, girl, that ain't him, that's his angel. Because there was a belief that every Jewish person had an angel, and even your angel resembled what you look like. So they said, that's just his angel. And they go back, Lord, free Peter. Lord, free Peter. And Peter's sitting right there on the front porch. But here's that Ephesians 3:20, though. Again, God moving in spite of their unbelief. God is still answering prayer. Because God ain't going to say, you're not going to get the glory for this because your prayer was so strong. No. I'll move without you praying. I'll move with broken faith. You're not going to boast before me that it was your prayer that did this. Because I'm doing this in spite of your shaky prayers. But here's the other thing, though. So as they're praying, Peter is put on the doorstep, meaning that God has just done another Ephesians 3:20. I bet you they didn't ask, Lord, free Peter and put him on the doorstep. I bet you they didn't pray that. But God says, I'm going to do more than what you ask. I'm going to put the blessing right on the doorstep. And a lot of us have seen God move like that. We're just praying, oh God, would you help? And God helps, and then he puts a blessing on the doorstep. He gives you a cherry on top, and in here we go. We're so deep, now we're going to overanalyze when he puts the blessing on the door. Some of you met a dude or you met a woman, and God says, you've been praying. I'm going to bring this person to you, put them on your doorstep, and don't let them stay overnight, but I'm going to put them on the doorstep. And now you want to get over analytical. Well, I don't know. I just don't know. God says, you've been praying. He does more than we could ever ask or imagine. Trust him. Enjoy the blessing. The Bible goes on to say, I got to put my glasses on. I can't see nothing. Bible says in verse 16, I'm almost done. Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go and tell these things to James. This is Jesus's half-brother, who's like the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He says, go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. He didn't even tell him where he was going. I mean, I'm out. But finally, the church must pray because church leaders need prayer. Church must pray because church leaders need prayer. We saw that James was martyred. Thankfully, Peter was delivered from martyrdom. The church prayed. Martin Luther King Jr. once said in prayer, Lord, I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But now I am afraid. Leaders get afraid sometimes. The people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my power. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Do you know, as leaders, we pray that probably every week. Whenever I come before you to preach, it's such a monumental task. I'm weak every week, but some weeks I'm weaker than normal, and I thank God for being weak because I know his grace is here. Dr. King is like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm tired. Help me, God. Hebrews chapter 13. Listen to this. Verse 17, 18, and 19. Obey those who rule over you. Those are your pastors and your leaders. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And some of y'all make watching for souls real difficult. Well. as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Verse 18, pray for us. Those of us who have to watch for souls, who have to lead the church, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this. To do what? Pray for us, that I may be restored to you the sooner. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but whoever this writer is, he is away and wants to be restored back to the people. But let's talk about spiritual restoration and not just physical. Your leaders need to be restored. Your leaders need to be re-energized and reinvigorated. And we need strength because we're always pouring out. And if we don't get into the presence of God to fill us up, it's not a good thing. But we're human just like the people we're trying to serve. We're sheep just like the sheep we're trying to shepherd. But sometimes people may think, man, we just got it going on 24/7. No, man, we're broken. We need Jesus. He says he'll fill your cup up till it's overflowing. But when you got hundreds of people constantly drinking out of your cup, your cup gets empty. And you can minister on fumes. Leadership is not easy. Jesus went away to spend time with his Father, the Bible says. They got up in the morning and looked for him. Where is he? They went and found him. He's out there having prayer time with his Father, because there's still more needs for the people. More demons need to be cast out, more sick people, and they interrupt his prayer time. Pray for your leaders. So pray, church, pray. Especially for the leaders. It's kind of self-serving for me to say this, but y'all know I really don't care, but I'm going to say it. I need prayer. Don't take what I do for granted. Don't take what Felicia does for granted. What Jewel does for granted. What the elders do for granted. So many times, Lord, please, you got to get us together to lead the people. I'm in the grocery store trying to have a bit. And then here come one of the members. I duck down aisle 7. No. Pray for your leaders. I'm going to ask my pastors, their spouses. I know Dr. Jewel and Terrence are not here. Felicia and John, Dorena, to come. Would you come to the altar, please? I'm going to ask for my elders and their wives to come to the altar as Mike plays for us. We need prayer. We need prayer. We need prayer. John and Holly, we need prayer. Sherman and Sharon. John and Shar. Aubrey and Tony, your shepherds, your elders, your leaders, we need prayer. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask the church to come up. We lay hands on people when they join church. We lay hands on people when they come to the altar. Today, we need you to lay hands on us. I'm going to ask Mitch to come also. I'm going to bring your bride. Mitch is beginning New Year with the Titans as the chaplain of the Titans. If you don't think that he don't go through spiritual warfare, he and his bride need prayer. They're going through a lot. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. Here's what I want to see. There's power in a church that prays. And I want you to come and surround them, us, with prayer. For those of you who are close, come and make sure everyone is touched. We're going to lay hands. Come forward. And if you can't get up here to them, you touch somebody who's touching somebody who's touching them. This is spiritual warfare. But we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. We overcome by prayer. I'm going to ask my prayer warriors to come at this time as we're building our intercession team.
Would you come take the stage behind me? Larry, Ebony, Mother Acklin, Yuri. You're going to pass this microphone like a baton. As you pray over the leaders, I'm going to come down there and stand next to my wife. I better not try to jump off the stage. Bernard Pollock would get me.
Right now, entering this room, in this place, Father God, we believe that you are waiting right here at the altar with us, Father, that you are in the midst right now in the name of Jesus, that your presence is filling this altar. Each person that's standing here is beginning to feel your presence like a burn in their chest in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. That your presence is here with us, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus. First, we acknowledge who you are. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the protector and the healer, Father. You are the leader of heavenly armies, Lord Jesus. You are the authority in the earth, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we praise you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, we exalt you and not ourselves, Father God, because it is not us, it is you that is in us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, that your presence is here. I thank you, Lord, that you said, Jesus said in Matthew 18, that for where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus said in Matthew 28, that he has all authority, all power, and absolute rule in heaven and in earth. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that in Matthew 16, he says that he gave us the keys and authority, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to walk in it, and that whatsoever we bind on earth is already done in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. We thank you, Father, because you have already declared it over your people in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us authority to tread over serpents, over demons, over scorpions, that they have no power over us. And that when we come together to pray, we pray in authority in the name of Jesus. And we believe that it is yes and amen. And it is done in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray over our leadership. Father, we pray Psalms 91 over our leadership. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust with great confidence, and on whom I rely, for he will save us from the trap of the fowler. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover us and completely protect us. And it's under his wings that we will find refuge. Father, when our leaders get weary, when our leaders feel like they can't take another step, I thank you, Father God, that in Psalms you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. His rod and his staff, they protect us and guide us. Lord, we ask that you will cover our leadership. That you will cover our leadership with your grace, your power. Father, that you will work circumspectly through them, that they will put on garments of righteousness. Father God, that they will lean into you and hear your voice. Every idol that they have established in their life, we call it out in the name of Jesus. We say that you cannot stand in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would demolish every idol, every false altar in their life. Tear it down. And in its place, Father God, we erect altars to you. We don't love our flesh more than we love you, Lord. We don't love our offenses more than we love you, Jesus. We don't love our hurt more than we love you, Jesus. But you said if we love you, that we will keep your commandments. That is your love language, obedience to you, Father. So we tear down idols in our lives. Our leadership tears down idols in their lives, and they erect an altar to the one true living God. Father, we pray a hedge of protection over them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we cover them right now in the name of Jesus from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet with the blood of Jesus. Every offense is now forgiven under the blood of Jesus. Every accuser that comes with an accusation is met with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you've got them and that you keep them in your presence. In Jesus' name.
Love you, Lord. Thank you for the amazing gift of your presence, your gracious gift of access to you. May we more continually, habitually seek you in good times, in hard times, and with growing confidence, know that you are with us all the time. Today, Father, we pray for Pastor Chris and all the leaders here at Strong Tower. We thank you for these servant leaders, for their influence at church, at home, at work, and in the community. Grant them the encouragement for exhortation. Grow their courage and character. And shape their values so that others see Jesus in them. Pray for Chris and Dorina as our lead servants. Thank you for their humility, for their dependence on you, for their obedience to you. Grant them that perfect peace that we heard about today. And you give it to those who keep their minds on you. So guard their hearts and their minds and protect them like Daniel as we fast like Daniel and pray like Daniel and seek understanding. Please, Lord, bless this church as we experience each other as family with you, our loving Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Father, we are so grateful that you are God. We praise your name. Worthy is the Lamb. Lord, thank you that we read about the great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you, the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. And Lord, even as we are sheep, we recognize that our shepherds are also sheep, as Pastor Chris said. So would you, as the great shepherd of the sheep, would you lead these under shepherds? Would you lead them? Would you help them grow, Father, as they are being sanctified, as they wrestle with their own brokenness, their own unbelief, their own things? Lord, help them in their unbelief. Help them in their brokenness. Help us as the body, this local body, to come around them, to encourage them, to pray. Lord, give us wisdom to know how to bless them, that we would see this tapestry of the body of Christ working together, Lord. We ask, Lord, help us to work together in unison. We're not all the same. But you have given each of us different gifts that the body may be edified. And so, God, would we be active in this? Would we all realize that we have a part to play, no matter what we are? A finger, a toe, an eye? Lord, we're all looking to you, the head, Jesus Christ, who leads us. And so may we follow together. Lord, I pray for each of these leaders. I pray for their families, the children, the grandchildren. Lord, I pray for them in their day-to-day lives. And we know that where you are moving, where they are being sanctified, there will be opposition from the evil one. And so we pray that you would protect them. Lord, I ask that you would help them to stand. And after everything else, to stand firm. Father, help keep them alert. Lord, help them to stand and to always keep on praying and to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We pray these things, Lord. And now I pray the words of Colossians 1, starting at verse 9, for our leaders now. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we just give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. We thank you, Father God, for who you are and that we are yours, Father God, and that you care about us, Lord God, and you care about the weakness especially of your servants, Father God. So we lift up every leader before you today, Father God, saying that you can give strength where we cannot, that you can give wisdom where we cannot, that you can give knowledge where we cannot, that you can give sanctification where we cannot, that where they are weak, you are strong, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to stand here and say that we will go with them, Father God, that they are not alone. But we also ask you to let us be the Aaron, Father God, in their lives, that when Moses' arms were weak, Father God, that they were borne up by those who loved them. So, Father God, let us be the Aaron for them, Father God. For each one that's represented for heaven today, Father God, let us be the one that comes behind them saying, I will go with them, Father God. That there's no battle too great, Father God, that we will not go with them. That there is no enemy too strong that we will not go with them, Father God. We ask that you pour fresh oil over their heads, Father God. And as you pour the fresh oil, we ask that you send the angels, Lord God, for visitation as you did Jesus, Lord God. That when he finished his 40 days, Lord God, he was in a weakened state and the enemy came to visit. We ask that you do the same for them that you did for your son, Father God. We thank you that you're placing them on a sure foundation, Father God. For even the things that you're doing new here at Strong Tower, we say give them a foundation that is unshakable, Father God, that they stand in the face of heaven. And they say, we will do what you have commanded us to do. We will go where you have commanded us to go. And we will be who you have commanded us to be. Now, Lord God, we speak to the extension, the families, Father God, that even in the weakened state that they say they have nothing to give their families, Father God, we ask that you strengthen them to do more. Do more for their families. Do more for their children. Do more for their friends. Do more for their co-workers, Father God. We just ask you in the name of Jesus that whatever we're not to them, Lord God, that you will stand instead for them, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for the leaders of this house. We thank you, Lord God. 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 We thank you because we know it's not easy to stand in this place. We thank you because we know that they bear us, Father God, before they bear themselves sometimes. But I'd like to end again saying, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Let us never take them for granted. In Jesus' mighty name.